This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Behold, Lord, an empty vessel that needs to be filled. My Lord, fill it. I am weak in the faith, strengthen me. I am cold in love, warm me and make me fervent, that my love may go out to my neighbor. I do not have a strong and firm faith. At times I doubt and am unable to trust you altogether. Lord, help me. Strengthen my faith and trust in you. In you I have sealed the treasure of all I have. I am poor, you are rich, and came to be merciful to the poor. I am sinner, you are upright. With me there is an abundance of sin, in you the fullness of righteousness. Therefore I will remain with you, of whom I can receive, but to whom I may not give. Amen. A prayer written in the 1500s by Martin Luther. And it is somewhat appropriate today, in light of our gospel and in light of this being the Sunday that our Lutheran brothers and sisters celebrate Reformation Sunday, hence us singing the great hymn lyrics written by Martin Luther, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Why is it appropriate? If you recall the history that we alluded to last week, Martin Luther emerged. This is, by the way, the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther posting those 95 theses to the church in Wittenberg, Germany. And those theses that he posted were objections to the abuses that were going on in the church. And those abuses largely had to do with this notion, really, that we're not good enough, if you want to get simple about it. That there was this idea that because we were such sinful human beings, that when we die, there is this sort of time that we had to do, this purgatory jail that we had to spend time in to work off the sins that we had committed. We weren't good enough to be with God. And so what the church did in its abuse was to decide, well, if there is a certain amount of years for your sentence in purgatory, we as the church can decide, we can give you an indulgence to get you time off. And going even further into the abuse of it, they start selling these indulgences so you could purchase your way out of purgatory. Kind of crazy. But we come back to this idea, as Luther did, that you cannot buy grace, and you don't have to buy grace anyway, because it is God's free gift to us. We are made in God's image. We are good enough to begin with. And that is the point from which everything else takes off. Now we come to this gospel today. They're trying to trap Jesus again. Another one of these false dilemmas that they're creating and hoping they can catch Jesus in something so they can shoot him down. And of course, as usual, Jesus escapes through the horns of the dilemma by the way he cleverly responds to what really says what is important and really convicts them for what they are not doing. They would have all known that first one because they would say it every day. Every good Jewish person, the Shema, as it's called, those lines from Deuteronomy, "I am the Lord your God, the only God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul." They all knew that. That was no surprise to them. And the other one was no surprise, as we heard it read today from the book of Leviticus. This was nothing new. Love your neighbor. That was there too. But Jesus says the second is like unto it. He puts the two together. You say you love God, but you don't love your neighbor? No, you can't. You say you love your neighbor, but you don't love God? No, you can't. The two are inextricably tied up together. You got to do both. Now, they would have thought that there was no way they could not catch Jesus on this one, because when they talk about the greatest laws, well, they had 613 of them, and all of them were supposed to be equally important. So we got to thank Jesus that he didn't decide to recite all 613 of them, because Rev. Wendy would still be reading until we are long past the unplugged service at 11:45. So he gives them two, or are there three? There's two very crucial words. Love your neighbor as yourself. We are good enough. As a matter of fact, Jesus gives that equal play in this equation. You say you love God? Then you better love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, you can't love God. You say you love your neighbor, but you don't love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. This is crucial for us. There is something in our human psyche that will take us to that state of this abuse that the church historically got into, that says, I'm not good enough. I've used the example before, but it is so true that even as we are growing up, there is some false notion that the whole idea of our growth spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, and everything else is to get rounded out. And so what happens? We concentrate on the weaknesses instead of on the strengths. Perfect example. You come home with your report card. You've got 5 A's and 1 B. What is the probable comment that you're going to get? Hey, what's up with the B? How about working on that science a little bit? It gets ingrained in us that then I have to work on this, and then I forget about this incredible giftedness that God has given me. We are good enough to begin with, but we need to be concentrating on the strengths that God has given uniquely to each one of us. When you look through the Gospels, I cannot find any instance where Jesus chooses people to follow him because he wants to improve the weaknesses that they have. He chooses people because there's a certain strength that they have, and he knows that this can be used for the upbuilding of the kingdom. Look at these disciples. Look at Peter. If you want to talk about somebody who had weaknesses, oh, good Lord. But there was some kind of passion and some kind of gift that he knew Peter had for leadership that could be used and could be honed. And so there's where he is. And Andrew and James and John and all the rest. It's very appropriate that this weekend we are celebrating the feast of two of the lesser known of those apostles, Simon and Jude. And if we try to look at the history, we really don't know anything about them. There's all sorts of legends, but in terms of what we can historically prove, we don't know anything other than they're listed and they were chosen by Jesus. Why did Jesus choose them? They had some gifts of some sort for the sake of the gospel, and they must have used them because they ended up dying for what they believed in. We all have these gifts, these strengths that God has given to us. So as we look at his commandments, we got to get away from this temptation to say, I'm not good enough. I've told this story to some of you before. I came home with my first report card when I was in first grade. And the scale was not A, B, C, D, F. It was E, excellent, H, high, G, good, L, low, U, unsatisfactory. I got an L. Do you know what I got the L in? Religion. I was bored. Sister Julian was the worst teacher I had ever had in my academic life, first grade through graduate school. Why? It wasn't her strength. It was obvious it wasn't her strength. And I'm sure the mother superior said, okay, we need a religion teacher. I don't care. You're it. We got to look to our strengths and to utilize our strengths. Find the things that God has gifted us uniquely with and go for it. And not to get so upset that I don't have these other gifts that I maybe wish I had, or the weaknesses that exist in my life, because God made me wonderfully, as we looked at Psalm 139 a couple weeks ago, and he has enabled me now, if I'm going to become who I can become, to emphasize those strengths. That's the gift he gives us. So perhaps today, as our Lutheran brothers and sisters are celebrating grace alone, maybe it's time for us to celebrate the grace that God has given uniquely to each one of us, that we are good enough, that as we concentrate on loving God and loving our neighbor, we give equal place to loving ourselves. Amen.